On this, the first Sunday after the Epiphany, our Old Testament lesson is from Deuteronomy chapter 8, beginning with the first verse. Be careful to follow every command I am giving you today, so that you may live and increase and may enter and possess the land the Lord promised on oath to your ancestors. Remember how the Lord your God led you all the way in the wilderness these 40 years to humble and test you in order to know what was in your heart, whether or not you would keep his commands. He humbled you, causing you to hunger and then feeding you with manna, which neither you nor your ancestors had known, to teach you that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Your clothes did not wear out, and your feet did not swell during these 40 years. Know then in your heart that as a man disciplines his son, so the Lord your God disciplines you. Observe the commands of the Lord your God, walking in obedience to him and revering him. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land with brooks, streams, and deep springs gushing out into the valleys and hills, a land with wheat and barley, vines and fig trees, pomegranates, olive oil, and honey, a land where bread will not be scarce and you will lack nothing, a land where the rocks are iron and you can dig copper out of the hills. When you have eaten and are satisfied, praise the Lord your God for the good land he has given you. This is the word of the Lord. Our second lesson is from 2 Corinthians chapter 8, beginning with the first verse. And now, brothers and sisters, we want you to know about the grace that God has given the Macedonian churches. In the midst of a very severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. For I testify that they gave as much as they were able, and even beyond their ability. Entirely on their own, they urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in this service to the Lord's people. And they exceeded our expectations. They gave themselves first of all to the Lord, and then, by the will of God, also to us. So we urged Titus, just as he had earlier made a beginning, to bring also to completion this act of grace on your part. But since you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in complete earnestness, and in the love we have kindled in you, see that you also excel in this grace of giving. I'm not commanding you, but I want to test the sincerity of your love by comparing it with the earnestness of others. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you, through his poverty, might become rich. This is the word of the Lord, the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke. Now, on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." When he saw them, he said, "Go show yourselves to the priest." And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back, praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well." This is the gospel of God. Thanks be to God.
Once again, I greet you in the everlasting name of Jesus this morning. This past week, we had a meeting of the Board of Elders. And in that meeting, we had a discussion about our worship services here at Epiphany. And we discussed how some people like one thing in a service and some people like another thing in a service. And I mentioned that we ought to be asking ourselves and we ought to be asking each other, Why do you come here on Sunday morning? And so I'll pose that question to all of us as we discuss a few things here. Why are you here this morning? If your answer is anything other than that you want to receive all that God has to give us, all the blessings and the ways He loves us through His Word and through the sacraments, and then you want to respond to Him, to thank Him, and to praise Him, if there's any other answer to that, then you need to probably rethink why you're here this morning. That's what we say in our worship, is that it's all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus, how He loves us, how much He came for us. He died for us so that we could have the way, the only way that we can escape eternal death when we die. Do you have any hesitation in your belief, in your heart, that God loves you? John said in his first letter in chapter 4, he says, "This is how God showed His love among us. He sent His one and only Son into the world that we might live through Him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins." Notice the sequence that John puts this in. Not that we loved God and then God responded to our love. No. He first loved us. And so our response to Him is because of His love. Paul wrote in Romans 5, he said, "But God demonstrates His own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us." You see, this is our God. He didn't even spare His only Son because He loves us. Jesus went through all of the trials and the abuse that He took because He loves us. He went to the cross and died on that cross because He loves us. He rose from the dead out of that grave because He loves us. You don't need any more proof that God loves you than that, do you? If you do, please make an appointment to come see me later on this week, and we can discuss it. Because I guarantee you, God loves you, and He loves me. He gave us our lives. He gives us all good things. He gives us all the many blessings that we have in our life. He gives us His grace, the way out of the dead end of sin. And He's not finished giving to us. He gives to us this morning as we're here. He gives us His holy word that we just heard. He gives us His body and His blood that we'll receive later on. He gives us His Holy Spirit that is with us right now, that we sing to, that we praise to. He gives us the Holy Christian Church, of which you are members. And our worship here should be an expression of our appreciation for all the love that He gives to us. It should be part of our response to all of the love that He lavishes on us. You know, we call this the divine service. It's divine because it's holy. It's set apart from the rest of the week. It's a place that we can come to be in the presence of Almighty God, to receive Him and to praise Him. Worship is not about us and what we want and what we need. It's about Him. And that's what we'll, you know, it's what we'll be doing when we leave this earth. What are we going to be doing, folks? We're going to be praising our wonderful God. This is kind of like rehearsal. You know, in the first service, any of you who have been to the first service, we have part of the liturgy. It's called the Great Thanksgiving. And we say it just before communion. And the great thanksgiving ends with, "Therefore with angels and archangels and all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, Holy, holy, holy Lord." Yes, it's about him. But as I said, this is only part of our response to his love. We also praise and thank him with our lives. Everything we have came from him, including our lives. He gives us our time. He gives us our abilities and our traits and our talents. He gives us our treasures. Why? Because he loves us. And he wants to help us. But he also gives it to us so that we can help others with that treasure, that time, that talent. Well, how do we adequately respond to our loving God? True thankfulness requires, among other things, two things. One is word and deed. Word and deed. Being truly thankful forces us to take our eyes off of ourselves and put them on Almighty God, where our eyes should be anyway. You know, it's kind of like our message in the Old Testament lesson, our first lesson today from Deuteronomy. The key word there is remember. Remember. Moses didn't want the Israelites to forget about God when they went into the promised land, a land where they would lack for nothing. And so he wanted them to remember how God tested them to teach them. Remember how God fed them with the manna from heaven so that they would have something to eat. Remember how God provided clothes for them that never wore out. Remember how God didn't allow their feet to swell after 40 years of walking through the desert. And if God did all of that, he certainly would do even more as they entered into the promised land. Like I said, a land that they would lack for nothing. And then notice what Moses said. He said this, "When you have eaten and are satisfied, praise the Lord your God for the good land he has given you." And so I want to take that lesson and move it into the 21st century to us today. I want us to remember too. Remember how God gave you the skills and the intelligence that you have to earn a wage. Remember how God provided you loving family and loving friends to be with you. Remember how God gave you a church where you can praise him and you can be close to him and you can fellowship with other Christians. Remember how God gave you his word to teach you and to give you a direction in your life. Remember how God gave you a way to salvation through Jesus and all that Jesus went through, his resurrection and his death. Remember how Jesus came and gives you his body and his blood to nourish and support your spirit. And as we remember, we should want to praise him. We should want to thank him. We should want to show him that we appreciate all that he's done for us. Now, there's a distinction between faith and gratitude, although they're pretty much interconnected. Faith is knowing that there is a loving God, that he does give to us all good things. Gratitude is humble recognition of that and humble recognition of our dependence on God and genuine thanks for all the things that he does for us. When we take our eyes off of ourselves and recognize God's awesome provision for us in our lives, we should want to show him true gratitude. Faith allows us to recognize God and that he gives us what we need. He gives us when we need it, and he will continue to give it to us. Gratitude is how we respond to what he gives to us, so that we can show him that we appreciate what he's done. Gratitude requires both parts of thanksgiving, word and deed, praise and action. In our gospel lesson today, we talked about the 10 lepers. You know, it's a story that's familiar to most everybody. 10 men were healed from leprosy, but only one came back to give Jesus thanks. And he was a Samaritan. He was a foreigner. He wasn't even a Jew. Our text tells us that one of them, when he saw he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, "Were not all cleansed? Where are the other nine? Has no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner?" That one man had faith and he had gratitude. He responded with words, words of thanks. And he responded with action. He came back and he threw himself at the feet of Jesus as a humble gesture of you know, thank you and recognition of dependence on Jesus. How we act in response to what God gives us pleases God. You know, when I read this gospel lesson, it reminded me of a story. The story of a minister who was preaching in a small congregation. He was preaching about tithing, you know, giving a tenth of what you have to the Lord's work. And after the service, a little boy came up to him, and he had one fish on a stringer, and he gave the fish to the pastor. Of course, remembering our gospel lesson, the pastor said, "What about the other nine?" And the boy, without missing a beat, said, "I'm on my way to catch them right now." You see, that boy understood the essence of tithing. First things first, or as Jesus would say, first fruits. And the giving of first fruits could involve any number of things. Yes, it can involve giving a tenth of our income to the work of the Lord through the church or through other ways. But it also could mean giving the premium portion of your time to God's work. It could also mean giving the best of your ability, your talents, to accomplish something for God's purposes. All of those tell God that you appreciate what he's done for you and that you're grateful to give back to him, to give back to his work on this earth in his kingdom. Because all that you have, all that you are, comes from him to begin with. We just have to acknowledge it. And it doesn't matter the amount of time, the amount of treasure, the amount of talent that you give compared to anybody else. What does matter is the attitude in which you give it. Giving should never be solely based on our needs, you know, or given as a compulsion that we have to do it. Or, you know, even as a way of having joy, although joy does come when we do give out of a heart for God. The ultimate motivation to give is based on our gratitude to Jesus for what he has given to us. Jesus knows what's in your heart. Today is the day that we call Plug-In Sunday. It's a day when we, as a church, as Epiphany Lutheran Church, offer you a way to get plugged in to the service of our wonderful and loving God in this place. Now, some things may involve church, you know, some service in the church here, or it may even involve some service to the community. I don't believe that most people become involved with a church just to sit on the sidelines, you know, receiving the worship opportunities and the study opportunities and the service opportunities without wanting to do something to give back, without wanting to help in some way. I believe that most people understand that this building and all of the physical and the musical and the spiritual services that are received here, they require maintenance, and that comes at a cost of some way. Tithes and offerings help Epiphany provide and maintain some of these services. In the last few months, I'm sure you understand that we've tried to give you different ways that you can, you know, avail yourself of giving of your treasure. I mean, we provide offering envelopes for cash and checks. We provide a way to directly deposit. We've provided a way for credit cards. We've provided a way for even texting. But how do you respond to God by giving of your time and giving of your abilities and your talents? How do you do that? Well, Epiphany provides a number of opportunities to give back in that way too. This Sunday, we're asking you to remember those opportunities by giving you a convenient way to plug in to the ministries here, both at the church and, like I said, in the community. Now, if you'd please look at the chair in front of you and pull out this card that has a listing of the ministries on it. You should have one in front of you or at least near you, which has, like I said, the listing of the activities and the services here at Epiphany. When you leave here, or maybe some of you have already gotten them, you also receive a brochure. Now, the card lists the services that can be plugged into. The brochure gives you a listing of all of those services and a little bit more detail about what they entail. This brochure also gives you contact information for the people that are in charge of that particular service. And Carol Connor has said, if you can't find something on here that, you know, suits your abilities, she'll be happy to help you with any of that if you just contact her. But what I'm asking you to do is take a card, everybody, take a card, take a brochure, and take it home with you. And then I ask you to look through that brochure, and I ask you especially to pray to God so that He will point out to you what He may want you to do here at Epiphany to further His work in His kingdom. He will let you know what suits your abilities and your time. I believe that everybody can do something to respond positively to our wonderful and loving God. As Paul said in his second letter to the Corinthians in chapter 9, he said, "Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things, at all times, having all you need, you will abound in every good work." We will continue to provide you opportunities where you can plug into the service of God in this place. And like Moses, I will be asking you to remember those opportunities, because I think it's important that we do remember to show our loving God that we appreciate everything that He's done for us. Because in that way, we please God, and we reap the benefit of the joy that we receive by being plugged in to God's kingdom here on this earth. Amen? Amen.